Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We've been talking about faith, obviously. And, you know, the kingdom has order. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom of disorder. It's a kingdom of order. And so we're talking about faith and the law of faith. A law makes it very predictable. It's repeatable and you get the same results. Just like electricity, any type of law you can think of, we always use Ohm's law as the basics in electricity. So you can figure out how much a current, a light bulb draws, or the voltage, by just using a simple Ohm's law, you can calculate, figure it up, exactly how much that microwave is drawing, how much that refrigerator is drawing. It's just predictable. You can pinpoint it. Well, God has laws called the law of faith, and it makes His word predictable. Amen. And we're going to see this. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Right. Amen. Mark chapter 11. Praise God. Glasses out. And, you know, you have to remember that the law, the faith is governed by a law, but God did that on purpose for your benefit. You don't have to be sick, right? You don't have to be lacking in any area of your life. He's given us the God kind of faith. And I said, you know, listen, I talked about this last time. It's the God kind of faith. In other words, it's His faith, technically. He's given us His word, and we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the supernatural faith that we have is from Him. The grace that we receive is from Him. Because He's given us the faith to receive. There's no boasting on our part. It's all about getting into His lane of believing and asking according to His word. He's already given it to us. So it's predictable. It's a law. And if we'll participate and get in agreement with that, we can find that it'll work every single time. It works today. It'll work next week. It works next week. Guess what? It'll work next year. It's always there. He's never changing it. It's unchangeable. Amen. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start back up on verse 12. It says, now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to it, if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now skip on down to verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered to them, said, have faith in God. And your cross reference might say have the God kind or the God kind of faith. Now, this is pretty much review what we went over last week. Now, in verse 23, he's going to explain exactly how this God kind of faith operates. Now, we all know, basically, everyone in here, I'm speaking to the choir. But it's worth going over and over. I still enjoy doing it. I've been hearing this for years. I still enjoy hearing this. It sparks my faith. It puts me in remembrance. Peter talks about, I put you in remembrance. It's about putting ourselves in remembrance what God has already done for us. Now, he spoke to the fig tree. Now, you think, well, you know, you think, okay, Jesus didn't point back to the fig tree and say, well, you could do the same thing. He goes to something a lot bigger than a fig tree. It's supernatural, saints. What he's going about to explain is you can't do this with a natural faith, human faith. Natural sense faith, sense knowledge won't get the job done in the kingdom. Very limited. The Bible says we are to walk by faith, his faith, which he gives it to you to use. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, verse 23, let's go ahead and read it. For verily I say to you, that's us, right? Whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, breaking this down real quick, he talks about belief one time of the heart. He talks about doubt in the heart one time. But the saying part, you hearing me? The saying part, he talks three times. As Kenneth Hagin always used to say, you got to say it three times more than the rest of what he talked about. Three times more than he talked about the believing part or the doubting. You know, you can doubt in the mind, but don't allow that thought to go down into the heart. So that's casting down those imagination. Anything to exalt itself above the Word of God, the Bible says we bring it into captivity in obedience of Christ. Bring him into captivity. Cast those things down. But the saying part, that's what we're trying to get. The saying part is a law. We talked about last time, you have what you say. You say it enough, you tell those fish stories enough, you start to believe it. It was this big. Well, after 20 years, you really believe it was that big. But in reality, it was only, you know, fish bait. It wasn't all that big, but you believed it. Because you told the story over and over to the point that you believed it. The point I'm trying to make is Proverbs 18, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. It works in the negative and it works in the positive. Now, let's go back to the fig tree. Because the first law is you have what you say. Now we're going to step into the second law. Verse 13, and seeing verse 12, and now the next day when they come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find some on it. Notice the word it. And when he came to what? It, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for the figs. In response, Jesus said to it. Notice how many times he said it. So what I want to get into now is faith. You have what you say. And number two, faith is not passive. He did not just pass by the tree and say, oh, well, look at there, no leaves, no figs. He did something about it. He said to it. The only way it is going to change is if you start speaking to it, not being passive, but speak, come on, the word. Listen, everything, all these "its" that come against us, life, they're all subject to change. It is subject to change. If you have nothing, just like the tree had nothing, you have nothing in your wallet, you have issues with health, lack in this or that, whatever the case may be, it is subject to change. But you can't be passive about it. You just can't walk by and say, it is what it is, and just go, it is what it is. Well, you need to change what it is, or else it won't change. It'll stay the same. God has given us His Word that covers every area in our life. Everything's covered. But if we're not aggressive in the things that God has given us, it's already been given. Faith doesn't move God. I know it sounds a little strange, and people look at me kind of like, what are you saying there? No, faith is for us to receive what He's already done. God's not stuck. I wish God would do something. Oh, really? What's He supposed to do? Tell me, what is God supposed to do? He's already done it. He's in a seated position. He's done it. Jesus in a seated position. So He's waiting on us to be aggressive, saints, aggressive, and just acting on His Word. Notice what Jesus, even when the next day, Peter looks at the tree and goes, wow, look at this. Look at this. Look at this tree. It's all wilted. And Jesus didn't get all emotional. Come on. Didn't get all worked up with the wow. No, He wasn't even emotional about it, because faith is so predictable. He spoke to it. Now notice, this is just as important as speaking. Death without works is dead. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree, what did He do? He went on about His business. Very important. He did not go down the road 10 or 15 feet, 100 yards, and say, hey, Peter, go back and check on that tree. See what's happening. Give me a report. I want to make sure something's happening. No, when Jesus spoke those words, Matthew said, it happened immediately. Instantly, that tree started to dry up. The roots dried. But it took a while for the manifestation to come to the tree. So, He did not say, He didn't tell Peter to go back and look. No, because why? Because it was done. When He spoke those words, that was a reference point. As far as Jesus was concerned, on that time, that day, that hour, that minute, that second, that tree was dead. Now, looking at it in the natural, you would say, no, it's not. But spiritually, it started at the roots. You couldn't see it. So that reference point, that point in time, it was done. Jesus walked away from it, never said a word about it. Done. I had 2 months ago, Rose, little Rose. And I said, Rose, you wanna play some football, tackle? It was down in the basement, and she kind of looked at me, you know how she smiles. And she had no idea what she was getting into. But you could tell that she was a little puzzled by what I was saying. So we got over by the carpet, and I put her down to the carpet, and I started going, were you there? And I was wrestling around with her, and she wasn't, it wasn't 5 seconds. She said, done, done. She gets up and she's walking away. She's saying, done. Then I get up and I went and I started, Rose, we just got started, and I started walking to her, and she goes, done. Done. That's what Jesus, was saying. It's done. I did that to Hallie last year. I go, Hallie, let's play some football. She goes, yeah, let's go. So I got her on the carpet. We rolled around, and it lasted about 10 seconds. She gets up and says, you're not nice. Now we have Mason and Landon. Now I get them on the floor and wrestle. They go, come on, Grandpa, let's get it going. It's a whole other story. But Jesus, when he walked away, his attitude, and so I'm talking about faith has an attitude. As soon as he left, he spoke those words. Now we're seeing action. He's not speaking, but his actions are saying faith did the job. Now, I'm not saying, you know, listen, I believe if you got to go back and shoot the thing again, shoot it. But sooner or later, come on, you got to have that reference point. It's done. I mean, I've had to go back and reshoot, reload, reshoot, because I wasn't getting the results. And time went on. I just didn't feel right in my spirit. So I went back. I just, you know, hey, I'll go back and reload, shoot. It don't bother me a bit. But there has to be a point that reference is set.
That's right.
Words left. It's done. Now I'm moving on.
That's right.
My actions, everything. I'm not faking it till I make it. It's done. I'm not faking. If Jesus left that tree, he's not faking it till he Jesus said, I'm faking it till I make it. No, it's done.
Right.
Manifestation, you just keep the switch on. It's done. Hallelujah. Now, you say, well, it can't be that simple. Well, faith isn't complicated. It's just a law.
Right.
It's a law. It's a law.
Right.
You just got to work it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to, let's look at this, at what David went through. Let's turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to see here, David has an issue with an it. And of course, we know when I say it, we know what I'm talking about, Goliath. But you have to remember when David shows up on the scene, 1 Samuel chapter 17, he has no idea what's going on. He just arrives sort of on the battle scene. And Goliath, he gets there and Goliath is shooting off his mouth. And David starts hearing this, the reports, what he's in hearing Goliath. So you could say this, just like Jesus didn't pick the fight with the fig tree. Come on, the fig tree was talking to Jesus, right? Jesus just responded. I think the King James said Jesus answered back to the tree. New King James says he responded. He had a response. We need to have a response, an answer to answer back. Well, David, we see David here. He's coming to the battle scene, and he's not picking this fight either. Goliath is the one shooting his mouth off. So David gets involved in this, and we see in verse 26, David starts to speak. And this is the law of you have what you say. Now, he starts speaking long before he gets down to the battlefield. Let's pick this up in verse 26. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, immediately we see David's talking about Goliath. He calls him uncircumcised, right? In other words, David is a covenant man. Goliath has no covenant because he's not circumcised under the law. So David recognized this it as a uncircumcised Philistine. So he's open, wide open, no protection, no covering. So David already knows just by covenant that this, it is going to go down. Now, you say, well, how can that? Because he knows. Because faith is predictable. You know, watch this now. Verse 27. Verse 28. Now, Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep with in the wilderness? For I know your pride. Now listen, and your listen. This, don't miss this point. This is a turning point. Because him, David and his brother has been into this tassel before. This is not the first time these two guys have hit heads. In verse 29, it says, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Saints, listen. If you're going to fight the its, you cannot get into strife. You cannot get into strife. Now listen, this is not in the enemy. This is the covenant brother. If he hits heads with his brother and stays in that condition, he's going to stay in the grandstand and be a spectator and not on the field fighting. Because strife, Bible says where there's strife and envy, there's confusion and every evil work James talked about. You get into strife, you get into jealousy, you're going to open up a door to the enemy. You're not going to even get down to the battlefield. When I read this, every time I read this, I go, man, that was close. Because if he would have tried to challenge his older brother and had a spat right there, it opens the door. Your words. Life and death in the power of the tongue. If he would have got in a word fight with his brother, that would have opened up a door of opportunity for the enemy to come in. Come on, he's wanting to hear words that he can work with. Because the devil has no authority over you unless you give him the authority. So when you start getting into strife and you start talking about other people, gossip, strife, whatever, you're giving him legal access to you. The Bible says don't give him place. Don't give him a foothold. It'll keep you in the grandstand. Instead of you fighting the good fight of faith, you're not able to do that because you're disqualified. It's a law. You took yourself out of the equation. But notice what he did. Saying this is what we all have to do. He is very subtle. And I know that we give the devil a hard time, but he does have brain damage. We know that. But he knows the power of words. And if he can get you to get talking negatively, he knows that you're no longer in that place of authority where you should be, because your words just took you to another location. Seated in the grandstand, being a spectator instead of being a fighter. Come on. You have to watch this. He's very subtle about this. He used his own brother. Come on. What did David have to do? I wanted to just stop and look at this because we all have to deal with this. Family issues. And it may not be family issues, but the devil is very subtle. Look what he had to do. David had to, verse 30... It says, then he turned away from who? him, his brother. But here's the key. All he did, he's talking to his brother, then he makes a pivot. He turns away from his brother, and what's he doing? He continues to talk faith.
Yes.
In other words, the devil tried to get him off course. He tried to get him off. He knows that David's anointed. He's not stupid. He's our adversary. He knows that Samuel has anointed him to be the king. There is an anointing on David. The devil knows it. So how's he trying to take him out? He tries to take him out with his own word. He'll do the same thing to us. Hallelujah. So verse 30, he turned from him towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first. In other words, David's wanting to know about the reward. In other words, what? Tax exempt? That sounds pretty good, especially nowadays, where they're spending money. Someone's going to have to pay for it. Give me some tax exemption. I'll be in line for that. But verse 32, so David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to..." You know, Saul is from the church of we be not able. That came from the 10 spies network of churches. He's kind of, he's settled in. He's part of that church. We not able to fight against this Philistine. And for you, you're just a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion or the bear came, he took the lamb out of the flock, and I went out." Now, see here. Now we're getting into the good part now. When it came to the lion and the bear, and it took the lamb out of the flock. Now, was David passive? Did David say, "Oh, well, it is what it is. We got more coming"? It's just a couple of them. Yeah, he got aggressive. He said, "I went after it." It. Can you count them up with me? I went, and this is New King James. Now, Amplified it has more its. Verse 35, listen to this now. "I went after it, and I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose, I caught it by its beard, and I struck and killed it." You see all those its in there? He wasn't passive, he was aggressive. And he goes on to say this, and he goes, "And your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of the its." He's an it. He's just a little bigger, a little uglier. Do you notice the law? We're talking about another law here. And I don't have near enough time to even get into it. It's a law of progression. You start at this point, but you keep working the system. You work it, like Pastor Mark talked about, you keep stretching. And then when Goliath comes, you say, "What's this guy? What's he doing here talking? What's all this jab about?" He'd be just like the lion. He'd be just like the bear, because he's an it. This it has no covering. This it is subject to change. He's big now, but he's about to fall. Because he said a second time, come on, he called him uncircumcised. What you're facing is uncircumcised. It has no protection. It's open for you to speak to it. David's aggressive. We got the God kind of faith, saints. We need to be aggressive Why? Because the Word works.
That's right.
There's no failure.
That's right.
You're not going to come. You're not going to end up on the short end of the stick. You will prevail. Let's see here. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And here's brave Saul. And Saul said to David, "Go." And remember, he's a member of the church. We're not able. "Go, David, go. And the Lord be with you." He's such a strong, powerful man, isn't he? Now, jump on down. Let's want to get to the main part here. Verse 45. Well, actually, I don't want to skip too much. Verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook." Now, see, now we're talking about, he's talking, right? Now we see him picking up 5 stones. So it's not all talk, is it? Faith has action. So it's the second law. Faith without works is dead. So he picks up five smooth stones. Now they say that he has 4 brothers. But, and that'd preach. But what I like to look at is, I like to say this, when I see this, he picked up 5 stones. In other words, if I miss with one, I'll just pull another one out. In other words, I'll stay out there as long as it takes until this it falls. In other words, he is preparing to persevere. If it takes 1 stone, fine. But if it takes 2, fine. Whatever it takes, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to persevere. The Bible talks about earnestly contend for the faith, earnestly persevere. There has to be an earnest part that we're not going to be passive. We're going to be aggressive until it falls. In other words, I'm going to stay out on the field. I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to keep, if I have to sling another one, I will. I'll reach in the bag and I'll pull another stone out and I'll. Saints, that's aggressive. That's not quitting. That's not being passive. In other words, your attitude. I'm not quitting. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the bank account's saying to me. It's going to go down. It's going to work. That's the attitude we got to have. We got to be. Don't even think about quitting. That should not even enter your mind. Verse 41, it says, "So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and a man who actually has a guy in front of him holding his shield." That's something, isn't it? Verse 42, "And the Philistine looked about and saw David and disdained him, for he's only a youth, ruddy and good looking. And so the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Now you have to remember, he said sticks. Here's David coming down. He's got his stones. He's got his staff. See, Goliath said sticks. He's referring to his staff. Little David, 17 years old, whatever, short guy, has a staff, a little sling, You know, he found an inner tube off to the side. He made an inner tube, and it, you know, he's ready. And then you have Goliath with the dude holding the shield in front of him. Goliath all decked out, armor on. He's a champion. He's a fighter. And he's seeing little David with a shepherd boy with a stick. That's the reason why, saints, this is a great victory. That's why we talk about this every March. March Madness. The talk. Who's going to be David? Who's going to be David? Who's going to take down the giant? Because this should have never happened. It should have never happened. It's supernatural. The anointing is supernatural. Faith is supernatural. The God kind of faith. When you operate in the God kind of faith, you put yourself in a miracle situation. Miracles happen. Now, I don't like to be in a place to have to have a miracle, but if I have to have a miracle, guess what? It is possible, because the Word, all things are possible. With the Word, saints, we are anointed. David was anointed. Anointed to be king. Let's go on with this. Hallelujah. I know y'all are so excited about this. It says, verse 45, let's go down to 45. And David said, the Philistine's shooting his mouth off, but now David said this. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day," say this day, "this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you this day." What's he doing? He's talking. He is prophesying. To what? To it. You got to remember, like I said, David is anointed. Saints, you're anointed. God has made us kings and priests. We are anointed. We are loaded. He's prophesying. Saints, prophesy over your children. Prophesy over your spouse. Prophesy over your bank account. Prophesy. Now he goes on to say, "I'm going to take your head off." But hold it now. He has no sword. Think about this. He's prophesying under the anointing. He has no sword, or does he? The Bible says, take the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's got the sword in his mouth. It's a two-mouth sword. Saints, we've got the same capability. God speaks it, you speak it. Two-sided. You're putting the final touch to it. Amen. Anointed saints. That's the reason we got to be aggressive, not passive. Think of all the weapons that we have. When I told the story, I lost my ring. Well, I actually lost two rings, wedding ring. I'm telling this story because I don't want other people to do the same thing I did. I lost one ring, and I looked for it, but I don't know. Young kid, I don't know, 25. Lost it, and I looked for it. Oh, well, it is what it is. I lost the second one, and I don't even remember looking for that one. I'm being honest, I don't remember looking for it. I know I did, but I don't recall. But the third one really irritated me. And like I said, it was Joanne's dad's ring, but I lost it. And And I don't think I realized it was gone till the next day. But I had a pretty good idea where it was at. But the point is, I was passive in the first ring. Passive again. Passive. Just, oh well. But the third one, I got aggressive. I learned my lesson. Listen, things just don't happen. You got to apply some force here. So the third one, immediately I started to pray in the Spirit. I left some of this out last time, so I'm kind of filling in the blanks. So I prayed in the Spirit while I was looking for my ring, okay? Then that went on for a day, 2 days, maybe within a week, I don't know. So I was praying on and off in the Spirit, and, you know. Then I got to the point, I was in Boonville, and I remember the trees were on this side of me, and I had a metal detector in my hand. I said, okay, this is not working. I was metal detector. I was finding all the barbed wire, and it was ding, ding, you know. I said, it's not working. So what did I do? And I said, now this, by praying in the Spirit, I guess you'd call it wisdom. A lot of times when you don't know what to do, pray in the Spirit. Draw up some wisdom, right? James said you can ask for wisdom. Okay. So I remember standing there and I said, you know, I can't say I felt some great anointing. I was really kind of frustrated, if anything. There was no great anointing, but I've been praying in the Spirit. So I just said this. I said, ring. I remember pointing my finger. Ring, you will show yourself to me in the name of Jesus. Took my detector, put it in the truck, shut the door, and went on about my business. Now, Pastor Chuck, now, what are you trying to say? I'm saying I prophesied. But what scripture did you use? I don't know. How about John 14:14? Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask, that word ask means demand of Kenneth Hagin's teachings. That word in that setting, John 14:14, in that setting, Jesus is talking about doing the works of Jesus. So he said in I think 13 and 14, verse 14, if you ask or if you demand anything in my name, I will do it. So I put a demand in the name of Jesus. It's just like you would have, and you go in your house and you flip on a switch. You didn't have to call an electric company. You just put a demand on the circuit, didn't you? When you turned on your oven, you didn't have to call an electric company and ask them if it'd be all right. You just did it. You put a demand on that circuit. Because what? The electricity is in your house. Per code, they wired your house, unless you're in Pike County. They did your house. Everything's in order in your house. Everything's code. I'm serious, Pike County. We built a house, it was nothing. You just built it. There's no one around coming around to shut you down. They had no office. There's nothing. I think it's changed a little bit now. I guess. But anyway, so in your house, everything's per code. It's wired, it's geared to have a supply of electricity. Saint, you are geared. Your house, you are supplied with electricity, right? Anointing, power. But you have to release that anointing.
Right.
Yeah. And the ways to release that anointing is through words.
Right.
I'm talking about the law of faith, words and your actions. So I just said in the name of Jesus. Now, that ring did show itself up, but not at Boonville. I spent all my time in Boonville. It wasn't in Boonville. It was in Newburgh. was in the back in the backyard. I was leaning against something, and the sun was about 3 o'clock or so. It was going down, and I wasn't looking for it, but the ring was looking for me. Why? Because that's why I spoke. In the name of Jesus. It wasn't because of my great faith. It wasn't because of anything. It's His grace, His faith. Well, how am I going to boast anything? Right? Amen. So the ring, I'm not even looking for it, but it found me. It started shining in that sun. I go, what's that? Oh, there you are. But in order to get to that point, I had to get to a place where I wasn't passive. I had to be aggressive. Or else it wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have found it. It would still been in Newburgh. And now I'm in Boonville. I still can't find it. But thank God for His grace. It's kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard. Then the Bible says she started, then she said, right? But there's more to it than just saying. There has to be some actions behind it. Since that's what I'm trying to get across. Faith without works is dead. The woman with the issue of blood said it, but what, she just would have stayed in bed? She had to get up sick. And by law, she's not even supposed to be out walking, but yet the Bible says she came in behind the press, and there's people all around Jesus pressing against Him. How is she going to get to Him? She's going to get really aggressive. She had to what? Crawl. I picture her crawling to Him to a certain point, even just to touch His hem of the garment. That just doesn't happen. Well, I just figured it just happened. No, you're going to press in. David had to go on the field. David didn't prophesy, then go back up into the stands to watch. Come on. Let's finish this up. He had to do some other things other than prophesying. When I prophesied over my ring, listen, I considered it done, but the word I spoke was the ring was to show itself to me. It took 5 months, but I don't ever remember saying it's not working. I never said that. Now, when I did think about it, I would say, man, thank you, Lord. I thank you. You know, Thanksgiving, you know, make your request known with Thanksgiving. So, amen. Look at this. So, after he prophesied in verse 45 or 46, he didn't go back up into the stand. Verse 47, it says that, verse 48, it says that he ran towards the army. Verse 48, in chapter 17, it says that David ran towards Goliath to the battle line. This is a little shepherd boy with a stick and a sling, but he's anointed. The talk's over now. You with me? Now he's in action. So it's taken both. It's taken words and it's taken some action to get to this point. Now, see, you in the natural, you look at little David, this is no way. This is not happening. But you what you do in the natural, guess what? You do it in faith. Now God's going to put the super on your natural. All of a sudden, that stone becomes a missile. Now, did angels get involved? I don't know. It's not clear. He does mention the Lord of hosts. So in previous verses. So I have a feeling definitely the angels were doing some action here. But the point is, if he didn't do the action, there would be no super to his action. You understand what I'm saying? Well, Pastor, I need a miracle. Well, what are you doing? The woman at the issue of blood needed a miracle. Well, what is she doing? David, he's putting it all on the line, saints. When you put everything out, he's put everything. He's sticking his neck out. He's sticking everything out. Why? Because he is so confident in the Word of God. He is so confident that God's backing him up and that this Goliath is defenseless. Guy's confident. He's not worried about nothing. You see it? You see him shaking and worried about anything? That's exactly how we should act. Bold, strong, righteous, or bold as a lion. We don't allow fear to enter in. We have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's how we operate. There's no room. We're so full with the Word of God. We're so full of His anointing. We don't leave room. Come on. And you get aggressive. Don't give yourself time to think. Just get aggressive. Act on God's Word. So a lot of times you think too much and you try to work out the details. And you go, well, what if it doesn't? I got to close this up. My goodness. We get so worked up in our details and we start to think and you overthink and don't do that. Just keep your mind on the Word. Just say, done. Done. And do like little rolls. Just walk away. Done. And little feet were just, done. That's exactly how we should act. But saints, but that doesn't just happen. We got close. I'm sorry, I did not realize we went that long. It doesn't just happen. It's putting the Word in your heart, speaking the Word out your mouth. It comes from meditation. If like I said before, if you get to reload, shoot again. He had 5 stones. He was ready to reload. He was prepared. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.